The Nerdcast, Season 5, Episode 13, brought to you by Nerd Kung Fu.
Hey. Yeah, you. Hey. I'm talking to you. Don't tell anybody, but this is Billy West. For real, I'm really here. And, do I gotta prove it? All right. Hey, shut up and take my money. Shut up, you young idiot.
Shut up, both of you.
I don't care. Tell me to shut up. Tell me to talk. I'll talk.
Well, anyway, what these people are trying to say is, this is Project Nerd.
Aren't we not saying the numbers anymore? Just so we don't have to deal with it.
We are saying the numbers. We're still in the middle of season 5, and it's episode 13 of the Nerdcast by Project Nerd, brought to you by Nerd Kung Fu. Head on over to nerdkungfu.com for some awesome shirts and gifts. Seriously.
Posters.
Are awesome. Posters.
Yeah, do it.
Adam wants you to buy the posters from Nerd Kung Fu, but I'm telling you about the shirts because the shirts are great. Get it all. Go ahead and get it all.
I love posters. I can't help it.
nerdkungfu.com/projectnerd. And that's what's bringing you this Nerdcast that's featuring not one, not two, not even three, but four awesome Project Nerd staff members. That's right. We have Adam, Aaron.
You had such a good chance to do like an actual fun movie quote with that one.
Oh, sorry. Did I bomb it? I missed it. I'm not even following where I was.
Not one or two or three, but four. Oh. Four stones. Sorry, I watched Fifth Element the other night. I love that one.
Yes. Anyways, all four elements or all four stones, I guess, are here. But, we need the fifth element. Where is she? Lilu. Anyways.
She's on the wall behind me.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah. I guess, yeah, you can kind of see it. But Adam, Aaron, and as you can tell, every time I'm about to say Tyler's name, he talks. So,
yeah, you can see it.
But season 5, we're in full advance. We're at the end of September, beginning October here, and we're actually recording on National Podcast Day, folks.
Hooray!
Hooray to all of us. National Podcast Day. And we're at, this would be episode 97 also, so that's a big mark here. So we're just really close to episode 100, which I hope we have some big things planned for, which I hope means I need to get to work on that, I guess. But
yeah, what are you doing? Slacker.
This is actually, I think it's 96 because we're four episodes away from 100, but that's still high up there for National Podcast Day. So since it's National Podcast Day, shout out to our pals over at Worst Comic Podcast Ever. Of course, those are some great guys if you're looking for additional podcasts to listen to. Epic Comic Cast. I do like listening to them every once in a while when I'm working on the site. They used to be syndicated on our site, as well as the many others that used to be syndicated to. But of course, we also have our own podcasts, one of them hosted by the very own Aaron Lay here. Aaron Lay and Dr. Beth on Modern Sex.
Yeah.
And then Drew and Josh over at Sexy Nerd Science. That sexy one's a little bit more PG. And then, of course, Optimistic Gamers with Brandon and Jesse. So four great podcasts on Project Nerd. By the time you listen to this, it'll already be past National Podcast Day.
Is it National Podcast Day today?
Yeah, Wednesday, the September the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Anyone else have any other podcasts they listen to?
You guys want to throw one or two out, some shout-outs? I don't want to hog all the microphone.
Shocking.
Whatever.
I know Tyler has some. I actually don't listen to podcasts. I listen to music when I play video games instead of podcasts. I don't know.
My two go-tos as of late for a while, WTF with Mark Maron. Does just basically Mark Maron doing interviews. Fantastic. And then one I've been into for a while. It's not really a podcast. It's collected in podcast form and you can get it on most podcast apps, but is Radiolab from WNYC. Is fantastic. I love Radiolab. There's some amazing episodes there.
Exciting. So podcast, check them out. Tell us what podcast you like to listen to. Obviously this one, if you're listening to us, or you might just be tuning in for the first time and you'll be a future fan, but either way, we're glad you're here. And then of course the many other fun podcasts that are out there. Like we always like to say, podcast, it's not a competition type thing because you can listen to as many as you want. And there's plenty of other great people, funny people, people we like out there doing some other awesome podcasts too. So
like me.
Yes. Like you.
Shout out to my podcast. Shout out to my podcast with Dr. Beth. We got to talk to a phone sex person
All right. Well, you'll have to listen to Modern Sex to hear that type of stuff, because we're a little bit more family friendly until...
We're definitely not family friendly.
Until either Tyler or myself just goes off the deep end, but...
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of Tyler going off the deep end, let's talk box office and fantasy movie league. It's your new week 4 champion right here. I just want to point out, so I got a hard time that first week for finishing pretty low, but each week it went from 6th place to 3rd place to 2nd place to now I'm that 1st place. And Tyler, I think I'm only like 16, 17 million behind you now total for the year. No, nothing there?
Oh, it's 17.
You're muted. He's talking, but he's muted.
He is muted. It's about 17, but I'm not that worried about it, to be honest with you. And I'm willing to take my I'm willing to take my loss in stride, because you managed to beat me, but you had to pick an Adam Sandler movie to do it.
Is Hotel Transylvania an Adam Sandler movie?
He's the main character.
Oh, I've never even seen the first one. I just know you bet on animated sequels, hands down. And then if Jared got second place, leaving a couple screens open because he was the only other one who put Hotel Transylvania 2 in his numbers. But let's talk about that. What was that? A little over 45 million for the September.
It was a ton.
Box office.
I mean, not only was it the biggest of the weekend, but it got the top performer, which in our league obviously gives you an extra 3 million per screen you put it on. And like Adam was saying earlier, like I expected it to win the weekend. I did not expect it to do the amount of money that it did. I didn't expect it to be worth what you had to pay to put it on a screen. Adam and I think both got burned, because we definitely thought Everest, for what you had to pay for it, was going to pan out a lot better. Because the numbers from limited release to open, I mean, the numbers that Everest put up in limited release were impressive. I thought that would really roll over into, it went from what, like a 1,500 screens to 3,000 screens from its opening weekend to this weekend. Plus,
from like 800 screens to 1,000 screens.
Because when it first came out, it was only on IMAX, and I really thought that those numbers would push it a lot higher, and not that it didn't do well. It just didn't do enough to make up for how much we spent on it. So,
yeah. And I think, I kept Everest off, cause there was no going with both of them in terms of the fantasy movie league. Cause yeah, that was almost 2/3 of your budget. If you picked Hotel Transylvania,
what was it, like 600?
It was like 600. Yeah. It was
it was a bunch.
600s, but it was crazy. But like I said, 45 million, the families went to it. And I think, not giving away my strategy here, but I mean, who cares, right? We all three of us have a first place so far, so can't really say much. Adam has 2 first place, right?
Okay, Adam has 1.5, and I have 1.5. That whole thing was bullshit.
We have podcast evidence that one, actually.
Right. When you sign in, There's that little 2 next to my name. Is there a 2 next to your name? I just don't. I mean,
so the thing is that there was at the date and the time at which the results became final, there was a 1 next to my name after 1 week, and then there was a recount is what you would call it. A couple hours later, they decided after the official deadline and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we screwed up. Adam, here's your pity prize."
You didn't know we were playing with Florida rules.
Apparently.
So,
easy.
I'm saying. But anyways, yeah. So point being is I think Hotel Transylvania 2's got another strong weekend ahead for it. I honestly think I know, and I'm high on it too, really excited about The Martian this weekend. But I think Hotel Transylvania 2 is going to beat it this weekend, especially with the numbers it put up last weekend. The Martian's just not going to have that pull. And it's September. I guess we're rolling into October. I'm sorry. It's October. It's still that time of year. As many big movies as we have coming out this fall, is what we saw from September numbers. And pointing out Everest, pointing out other movies targeted at an adult audience. I don't think we're adjusted to realize that the box office now is big year round. I think people are still like slowing back down and settling it back into life, I guess. I don't know.
Matt Damon. That's all there is to it. He draws numbers. I think it's going to be, I don't think Hotel Transylvania keeps pace. I think it's going to drop 50% or more. It's going to be in the 20 million, maybe under. I just can't see that many more people going to see it that didn't see it this weekend. And I think The Martian will do good things.
I think The Martian will have a great weekend. It's just, you're talking, we're hitting into October, so we're getting closer to Halloween. Again, animated sequel. Look at the other animated sequels runs like here in the past few years. Like, it's not just a one weekend thing. And as much as, like I said, who in the world saw the first Hotel Transylvania? We don't know, but the second one did really well.
A lot of people saw it. I mean, just as much, but I mean, I don't know. Most of those sequels you're talking about were better movies, but this one
Most of those sequels were better movies than Hotel Transylvania 1.
Not to mention Hotel Transylvania 2, just based on reviews. But, I mean, we got Ridley Scott, we got Matt Damon, we got a juggernaut of a marketing push. Like, the marketing game on this one has been strong for, like, 2-3 solid months now. And the buzz on it, like, there's been a lot of articles about it that have nothing to do with go see a movie. It's, you know, their partnership with NASA and getting people interested in the space program. And we had a huge announcement from NASA about water on Mars the other day. Like, I don't think there's any way Martian doesn't win the weekend.
All right. Well, we will see. I don't know. I think a lot of experts are saying The Martian's a favorite one, but we will see here. Of course, another exciting one. So The Martian, I'm super stoked about. Was it Sicario? The Mexican hitman movie with Emily Blunt. Blanking right now. Sorry. Emily Blunt.
Benicio del Toro, right?
Benicio del Toro is in there too, but Josh Brolin. There we go. So Brolin and Blunt are the two main characters. Del Toro, just from the previews alone, a little bit like chilling in his.
That looks like a show stealer type of role for him.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked for that one too. That one looks awesome. I think it's if I had the time and had the life, if I had the life, I wasn't too busy editing podcasts. No, I would definitely try to get to both of those this weekend because I think I really want to see that movie. The trailer looks very intriguing. I think it's going to get lost behind Martian release and everything, though.
Well, and it's a smaller release because it's been in limited release, hasn't it? Or is this the?
I think this is it. Unless they had it in a couple.
I don't know, because there was definitely a lot of reviews out there, and apparently it's not exactly what it looks like. It's a lot. It's very dark, but at the same time, what's his name? Denise Villanueva or Denis Villanueva, the director of it, is the same guy who made Prisoners. That one with Jake Gyllenhaal and Hugh Jackman, that was really dark. And then he also is the one who made that one with Jake Gyllenhaal, Enemy, where they're like the doppelgangers. So, I mean, he's made some pretty interesting.
Prisoners had a good run too in theaters, and it was a fall.
And it had solid reviews. So, but Sicario, I think, is sitting at like 93 on Rotten Tomatoes right now. So, and the reviews have been solid for it.
Well, I'm looking for that. And then, of course, the week behind it, you got Pan, another big release. And then, as we talk about every time, it's just rolling straight into a November where we see the new James Bond movie, which somebody shared an article on that. I think, if I remember correctly, it was, like almost $40 million in Aston Martins destroyed in the filming of that movie?
$37 million, and I cried the entire time I read the article.
That hurts. That hurts so much. Can they not just do a body kit like they do in every other movie? Because that's like any of those movies that have like classic cars. That's the worst part for me. Is as awesome as the chases are, like I cringe every time I see the movie Gone in 60 Seconds when he's driving that Shelby Mustang and just jumping curbs and crashing down on drawbridges and stuff. And that wasn't even a Shelby Mustang. They built a body kit around a frame of some shitty car and just made it look like a Shelby Mustang, but I can't watch it. It's painful to watch, and actually doing it to actual Aston Martins is
painful. Well, Bond coming up. Aaron, any movies you're excited for here in October up through Bond?
I'm excited about The Martian for sure, but you know, who's not?
I think everybody on this podcast definitely is. So I'm going to make the assumption that all four of us are going to probably see it this opening weekend.
I might hold off because 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that, you've got Crimson Peak. I don't have a good movie theater in town, so I need to make a pilgrimage to see the movie. And so I'm thinking I might hold off until Crimson Peak comes out and do a double feature. But I don't know.
I'm going to warn you now, Adam. I'm sorry for what's going to be talked about. I understand that you've read the book. I understand that you've read it, but we're still gonna go all out probably next up. There's not gonna be any stopping us. There's between Tyler, even Aaron, and if I'm gonna want to talk about it too, there's no way I'm gonna be able to put like
Yeah, I want to go see it in a good theater, but it's not going to happen. I'm working the next like 10 days straight, and I'm totally going to go see it like tomorrow night at Carmike. So I don't care.
And for those, yeah,
then I may need to go see it at my Carmike. And
there you go. You guys can be like joining in spirit.
Oh, it's so bad. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, but it's still the movie. It's like it's almost like when you get to watch the movie on a burned DVD. Like it's definitely not as good, but hey, it's the movie that you love.
Aaron, you must be the only one that does that because the rest of us.
Yeah, right, that's illegal. We don't do that.
Well, I've only happened upon it when I walked over to like somebody else's house one time.
Okay, good cover. Good
cover. See, I think that almost makes it worse, the fact that it's a movie that I really, really want to see. Like if it were just this movie that I was, oh, yeah, that's probably going to be pretty good. Like I could deal with the fact that, you know, that back right speaker, probably even at this Carmack down here, that back right speaker is not going to work. And some of the screen may not open all the way after the previews. And some of the top of the picture is going to be on the, you know, not on the screen, but hitting the roof and stuff like that.
We will, never ask them for a sponsorship, by the way, because they will turn us down quickly. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but I mean,
maybe we should mail them our podcast, just, you know.
But the fact that I really, really want to see the movie makes me really, really want to see it somewhere very good, not just like, oh, well, at least it was on the big screen. Like, that's going to bump. Like, I don't know.
It's hard because
I'm back and forth on it.
Yeah, there's that line that it's like, I've really got to see this. I can't wait. I've got to see it opening weekend. But then it's that line of like, where, you know, like when you're in that situation to where I can't get to a great theater, or even, you know, not in this instance, is The Martian being done in IMAX? I don't even know. I don't think Ridley Scott goes for that type of
thing. I think just 3D. I think they had to do a 3D release.
Okay. So, but even so for the example, like big movies that come out in IMAX, like when you're not near an IMAX theater, is it worth the wait or do you go see it? I don't know. That's a great thing to have some of our listeners chime into. So you can definitely let us know in the comments. So where do you fit on that line? Because I think more times than not, I'm going to lean towards having to go see the movie.
Carmike, I just, never mind. I'm not even going to get into it.
Like, well, to be fair, it's not.
Always goes back to there are worse theaters and it's just not perfect. It's no Draft House.
Yeah. Well, and it's, we're talking about one very specific Carmike. There might be other Carmike theaters out there that are wonderful, you know, cathedrals of cinema. The one that the four of us, you know, frequented for over the course of a decade is not one of those. So,
Adam, have you been to your new Carmike?
I knew
she means new town's Carmike, not a new theater.
Yeah, the theater is not new. No, I have not. And I'll probably, I don't know. I might talk myself into it. We'll see what the wife has to say. And I might talk myself into a trip an hour and a half to a movie theater. I don't know. It's tough. Let's just say I'm undecided right now.
All right. Well,
we will be.
Yes. Well, we will be. Most of us will be seeing it. I'm sure most of y'all will be seeing it as well. We do know, I believe Anne is the one for our team over Project Nerd, which, hi Anne, she likes it when we give her a shout out.
She had
another pretty good week on the Fantasy Movie League, but she'll be covering The Martian for us. So we'll have our review up on Friday, brand new shiny review first thing in the morning. So if you're on the fence for some reason, which you're not, I'm sure her review will bump you over the fence. And I'm going to assume, I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say it's probably gonna be in favor of the movie because this movie is gonna be awesome. We're just gonna put it out there. So, but yeah, big things at the box office, and yeah, it's just up from here because we talked about The Martian, Pan should do great. We still got you know Spectre, we got new Hunger Games out, all this stuff leading up straight up to Star Wars in December. So just a huge few months. Not to mention this is about the time when we start to see those award contenders start shining through as well. So a lot of movie watching still to do before the end of the year.
You keep skipping over Crimson Peak in your listing of movies, and I don't know why you do it. It's October. It's a scary movie. It's Guillermo del Toro.
A lot of movies.
I'm trying not to think too much about Guillermo del Toro because after all the things that happened at Legendary, it is now, as of this week, official that Pacific Rim 2 is out of production, off the schedule, and they gave its weekend to Pitch Perfect 3.
What?
Yeah, it hurts.
I missed that news, and I would have been better off not knowing it. But anyways.
Well, I shared that thing a while back about how they were, like, it was in development limbo, and it has all but been just killed for the time being. So
what does that have to do with your not wanting to hear about Guillermo del Toro?
Because it just makes me think about the fact that we might not ever get a Pacific Rim sequel.
That's a bummer.
You liked that movie that much?
Who the hell didn't like Pacific Rim?
It's a good movie. It's worthy of a sequel for sure.
I saw it Michael Bay's
three times
in the theater. And that might have been...
I'm sorry, are you not into giant-ass robots fighting big aliens? Is that something you're not cool with?
Gorgeous-looking movie.
And Idris Elba being imperious and bossy, and I'm confused at what your problem is.
I didn't have a problem with it. I liked it, but I'm just curious as to why you loved it so much. Like, that you're so sad about it, you can't even think about Guillermo del Toro.
Well, because it just brings up, it makes you think about, we're never going to get a Pacific Rim 2. We're probably never going to get a Hellboy 3. The Strain isn't very good. There's just a lot of bad things going on. I want him to be able to do whatever the fuck he wants at all times and just
I agree.
Depressing the podcast right on up.
And then that ties into him and Hideo Kojima not making Silent Hills. And I will be forever sad.
Anything right now.
Silent Hill sounds way too scary. I've never seen that before. Did Guillermo have his hand in that?
No, he just
said. So they were going to be making a video game. With Hideo Kojima, the guy who makes the Metal Gear series.
Remember,
Guillermo del Toro was going to be the writer for it.
I totally forgot that was even a video game because that video game scared me so bad in its early stages. Like, just in its very early stages, I remember watching it and it just, put that out of my mind.
Do you not remember us all sitting in your living room watching?
No, let's not talk about that anymore. I can't. That was
who was it? Bob who was getting the video of everybody, mm-hmm. And it was so fantastic because everybody. Remember Laura just really jump in. Adam be scared. And Tyler's just sitting there just fine, and then the next thing you know is, oh shit! Oh hell no! Oh hell no! Like that's.
Tyler. I was sitting in the corner with my face turned the other way, with headphones on, trying not to hear anything or see anything.
Because mm-hmm. I was scared.
Yeah,
it would have been amazing. That game, if you guys weren't there watching while I was playing, there were several times where I just would have stopped. I'm like, nope, 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 nope.
just noped on out of there.
Yep, we've had enough of this.
I wish I could remember what podcast it is, but we've got one because pretty much Adam and Tyler just tried to quit that podcast early to go play the trailer. Luckily, I was on AT&T.
Luckily, you had the super slow internet.
Yeah, luckily, I had a super slow time, so it took the full hour to download, and we got a full podcast in. So, AT&T Uverse, thank you for that.
There's that fetus thing in the sink, and it's just messing with me. There's some things going on.
Stop talking about it. I didn't even see it. I'm trying to keep
it. I was prepared to, like, just turn it off and, you know, let Bob make us watch Sharknado or some shit. So.
Sharknado. I thought that's what you were going to say. Pacific Rim got canceled for Sharknado like 312.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't get canceled for anything. It just got taken off the plate. And the weekend that it had occupied the studio then gave to Pitch Perfect 3. Which, I mean, I'm a big fan of all things Anna Kendrick, but I don't know if we need another one of those.
Hold on. Let's talk about Pitch Perfect for a second. I'm not, like, have you guys seen it? Adam and Tyler?
I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the sequel.
So I saw part of the first one, as we talked about previously, which made me not even want to bother with the second one.
Is it that bad, Tyler?
No. It's very what you would expect, but it's got Brittany Stowe and Anna Kendrick in it. I don't know what's wrong with that.
I said, if I want to watch Anna Kendrick, I'll just turn on Scott Pilgrim. Or
Up in the Air.
Up in the Air. Yep. I'll watch a good movie.
100% Up in the Air.
Yeah. Oh, wait, there's good acting and it's a good plot? Yeah, I'll go with that one.
I don't know. It's not like great cinema or anything, but I don't hate the first one. Like, the love that people express for it is a little out of hand. Like, there are people who have seen that movie hundreds of times, but...
Are these people women? Because I feel
yes, mostly.
Maybe it's like a women comedy, like Bridesmaids. Is it like along that vein?
It's nowhere near them.
Like, is it just something that appeals more to women because...
It is definitely targeted at women, yes, but it's I've actually seen, and like we've discussed in the past, I've seen a lot of not just women, but a lot of men and a lot of people that like movies that we often like and talk about on this podcast that actually not only just enjoy it, but like really enjoy that movie. Like it's a lot of people like it and think it's a really good movie. And, you know, and you credit you're talking about with Anna and Kendrick and Brittany Snow being in it and these people being in it, but it's actually, they're actually good actresses too that are in it. What's her name? Rebel Wilson is hilarious in anything I've ever seen her do, and she's in it. And even in
what's his name, Adam, the guy from
Workaholics, yeah. And then you have you're going old school with the what's from those one movies with one of the announcers. What's the other guy from the
who does
the show and all those types of movies?
He does all the what's his name?
He was the gay brother in The Breakup. I can't think of his name right now though. But he's always like, I've never seen him in a role that I didn't laugh at him. So even in bad.
Well, and he and his co-compatriot is what's her name? Who's like one of the executive producers of the movie. I'm blanking.
She's in that. But she's in the new apartments commercial.
Elizabeth Banks. Yeah, Elizabeth Banks is like one of the, and then, then the announcer is, John Michael Higgins,
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
And Elizabeth Banks are pretty fantastically funny at it.
I hear they're like the best part in it, but I never got a part with them when I watched a part of it. And I'm not a huge fan of Elizabeth Banks. I don't think she can act that well.
And then there's fun little musical numbers with medleys of pop songs sung a cappella. And some people get really into that. So, I mean, look how popular Pentatonix is, or the show. What was the name of the show? That was the acapella. No, the acapella like reality show, like American Idol for acapella groups.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was called, but I know what you're talking
about. The sing off, the one that had Ben Folds, who's one of the judges. Were Pentatonix.
I can't even pay attention to the judges for all these singing shows anymore.
I only pay attention to that one because they got Ben Folds, who's like a legit, you know.
He's a real musician.
Are
you trying to say Paula Abdul isn't a real musician?
Well, first of all, yes. I have Paula Abdul. I probably still have her cassette tape somewhere. I don't know.
From back 30 years ago, Tyler. She was actually doing so. When was the last time she put out an album?
Straight up now, really
good.
I was actually just being sarcastic. I really hate that person. Like,
anyways,
the only good thing she does is she really is an advocate for preventing human slavery. So she's probably a good person. But I don't like her. Never liked her music.
I don't like
her. Okay, first of all, two steps forward, one step back with DJ.
Yes.
What's the cat? With the animated cat is.
Yeah, that was cool when I was one of the achievements. Come on, this is 2015. We have like, you know.
That has aged well. You'll never grow out of that.
Other cartoons and live action people.
You just like it because Peter Griffin covered it.
I actually didn't know that was a thing, but now
you didn't see that. The Family Guy clip. He's like,
somebody screen share,
and he goes, instead of saying opposites attract, he goes, I'm dressed like a cat. He's like, it's pretty good.
Did not know that was a thing.
We'll find it after the podcast, but it is pretty fun. One of those high Family Guy moments. So I don't want to get political, but I do want to bring up one thing about Snowden did start his Twitter account. With rave reviews, he's only following one other Twitter account, the NSA. He is already in 24 hours. In 24 hours, he's reached a million followers. But the one thing I want to point out is HLN, I think, was the network that it was on, and they had supposedly an advocate. Where I'm going with this, Tyler, an advocate of Snowden come on to defend him while they were talking about it, and there was nobody really attacking Snowden. They just wanted somebody to explain why he's a hero. So this gentleman does an incredible job connected to the show via Skype of explaining why Edward is a hero and why people shouldn't be dismissing him and pushing him out, even though his hands are made of scissors, even though he was just created on a mountain somewhere and never finished, and all this stuff, and why Edward scissors.
Casting him out is completely wrong. We're treating him like an animal, somebody who should not be quarantined and put away. It's because he was created on the top of a mountain by Vincent Price and incomplete with scissors for hands and no heart. Edward Scissorhand is a complete hero to me.
The best part is the host of the show must completely assume that Scissorhands is just a nickname for Snowden and has no clue where he's going with it. So each time he gets a chance to speak, he completes his complete thought, passes it back to her. She asks him the next question, and it just keeps going because she has no clue what he's doing. So he's sitting here defending Edward Scissorhands the entire time she's trying to talk about Edward Snowden and his Twitter account, and it is phenomenal. And he's straight-faced because he's connected via video, so he's straight-faced the entire time. He is 100% in it and committed, and I applaud him. It's fantastic. So look it up. Tyler, if you were just...
But what about the choice he made to live in a country like Russia? I mean, where else is he going to go, you know? We cast him out. We got scared when he poked a hole in a waterbed with his scissor fingers. That was unreasonable of us.
But it's like, did she think that he was having a stroke and just pretended or did she think he was speaking metaphors?
It says that HLN has some poor bookers/fact checkers and that the on-air talent isn't necessarily your investigative journalists. They're the pretty attractive people who can read a teleprompter.
And have never seen one of the greatest movies ever.
Her earpiece must have canceled been off too, because I really feel like there had
somebody had to know what was going on.
Somebody had to be behind the scenes being like, guys, this is, or laughing hysterically while he was looking at them.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to tell her that because I would have been legitimately dying. They would have had to turn my microphone off because they're like, we can't hear what you're saying. Somebody's laughing in the mic.
So just Google search Edward Snowden Scissorhands. You'll be able to find that video. Once again, it's HLN that it was on. Very, very funny couple of minutes. And it's a super serious segment, and it is fantastic to where if you're not paying attention to what he's saying, you wouldn't know what's going on. You have to listen to the words because, like I said, he keeps straight face. She just keeps rolling with it because she has no clue what he's doing.
I feel like Tim Burton and John Depp are sitting somewhere with like a big glass of sherry, just like slow clapping during the whole thing.
I feel bad though, because she is, I mean, Yasmin, I can't even pronounce her last name. Vosagian is actually like a legit like broadcast journalist and fluent in three languages and does some cool stuff. But I don't know if she was just like trying to.
How old is she? That might be the question right there. How
old enough to have seen this movie for crying out loud?
But if she's got, what's her last name? So where's her country of origin? Can you use it in a sentence? So
now you're just being crappy about it. She was born in New York. Okay. The youngest daughters. Okay. I mean, but she went to I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm running.
She's reported on. She's covered stories from countries like Afghanistan, Liberia, France, Ghana, Senegal, and the United States. And I don't know if she just literally did not know what was going on or was just trying to like not let it just devolve into pure and utter chaos. Like
that could have been it too.
Let's just roll with it till we get to commercial. But it's HLN. Do they have commercials technically? I haven't watched headline news in forever. So,
anyways, fun clip. So definitely check it out. No matter how you feel about the Snowden thing, it's definitely a fun thing to check out. So let's move off the politics though. The other topics I didn't know if I was going to go to it. Tyler's going to shut me down before I get too far into it, but it feels like every day now, and we're still what, like 6-7 months away, every day there's a new Batman Superman headline for the movie. As far as, and I don't, get me wrong, I love him. I think he's a phenomenal actor, and I think if there's anything, this is for Suicide Squad, so it's related, these two movies. The first one I'll start with, sorry, is Suicide Squad. But if there's any actor in these two movies that I think is phenomenal and definitely worthy of his Academy Award, it's Jared Leto. But do you release a statement that says, I think when people see my Joker, they're going to want me locked up. And then not only that, now there's a headline that dropped today that, don't worry, not too much action will be in Batman versus Superman, because there will be some sensual parts to it. Yeah.
I mean, but at this point, people are just taking, like, they're just exploiting the tiniest phrases. Like, if Jared Leto said that, like, how many other things did he say? Who did he say that to? Why is that the thing that, just stupid. I feel like Batman versus Superman is going to have some good things going for it, and everybody's just saying it's going to be a turd because I don't know why. Done.
I don't know. I'm worried about that.
It's going to be a turd?
Because it's a Warner Brothers superhero movie, not directed by Christopher Nolan.
But it's got potential because it's Batman.
Sure, it's got potential, but
Did you see Batman and Robin?
Right,
it has potential.
I still,
it's not that bad, Batman. You guys.
It's still Batman.
I didn't say it wasn't that bad. I just said it's watchable. I can watch it. here's the better question.
Watch it, and I will.
Here's the better question.
There is one. No, that's a lie. There are only two movies that have ever been made that starred Chris O'Donnell that are quote unquote watchable. One of them is the terrible Three Musketeers movie, and the other one is Scent of a Woman.
What about Circle of Friends? That was so good.
Ooh, not a Circle of Friends, but there's also the other. What's the one with the crime drama, the lawyer? What's the?
The Bachelor?
No. No.
I had a thing for Chris O'Donnell when I was in my preteen.
Three Musketeers with who all is in it? Charlie Sheen, Oliver Platt, Tim Curry as Cardinal Richelieu, and who's the other? Porthos, Athos, and then Aramis it's not Branagh. Who plays Aramis? Oh, it's Jack Bauer. What's his name? Who's Jack Bauer?
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland, Chris O'Donnell, Charlie Sheen, and Oliver Platt. And I fucking loved that movie when I was a kid.
Well, you can just count me out of any discussion if Batman or Chris O'Donnell is involved, because I'm way too biased. I'm just going to go out there and say it.
I'll give you he's not a main character in it, but I will also give you School Ties.
I was just about to say School Ties. I just pulled
it. But he's not like a main character in that one.
The demographic at the time, but it's maybe not our favorite movie, but it's not a terrible movie, Fried Green Tomatoes.
Oh, yes. That was where he first pulled on my heart.
See, it hit their demographic, and it did what it was supposed to. So,
I mean, he's a horrible actor. I saw that as I got older, but those baby blue eyes.
No, my issue with the Batman Superman Suicide Squad thing is that, like, all of the crossing over that they're doing between the two movies now, like, oh, we need to put more of this person in this movie and more of this person in this movie. And then it really doesn't feel like they have, maybe they do, but it doesn't feel like they have like a cohesive idea for them. It's just like, hey, we're going to make this movie and we're going to make this movie. And those are related things. So let's kind of do some stuff and cross them over. That'll be fun because people love that. And I don't know.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing that's come out of this is more, you know, insiders speak off the record is that they don't have a cohesive idea. They have 10 different people trying to figure out what they should be doing. And Zack Snyder is one of them. And like we've said before, like, he's maybe not the best person to be in charge of managing a intellectual franchise. I don't know. I think they learned all the wrong thing. They're taking all the wrong lessons from Marvel's success and applying it to this as opposed to the right things. Like, they are reacting, but they're reacting to the wrong things. Like, they're seeing Marvel's success and chalking it up to, like, it's his tennis shoes, not he, you know, shot baskets in his front yard for 15 hours a day. You know, he's wearing Michael Jordans. It's not that we went out and hired like acclaimed directors and, you know, really good actors and got good writers to write good stories. It's that they have all the guys pop over and have the little tags at the end. And this guy's in this movie and in this movie, like, they're just, I don't know. They haven't come out with a movie yet. Like, I can't, they've got Man of Steel. Like, that's it. Like, I don't know. I don't have anything to judge off of other than the amount of just blather that comes out of that studio typically doesn't bode well for the actual film itself. I don't know.
The one thing for DC Warner Brother films that I am actually really looking forward to, although again, early stages, I was looking forward to these. But Tyler, you might get behind me on this one because they might. Yeah. I mean, you might be able to do this one right, but there's rumors of the Booster Gold Blue Beetle movie. So I am a buddy kind of cop comedy with two superheroes instead. I could go for that. Especially with Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. So
yeah, I think
it'd be harder to mess up would be the thing.
I think they just need to just because DC has, I mean, not that Marvel doesn't, but DC has such wildly varying like tones for various characters that they have. I think DC would have been better served to not try and make an all encompassing universe. I get that they want a Justice League movie so you got to throw your main like four or five in there, but they should have just tried to make DC movies and they should have just tried to make simple superhero movies about DC characters, not a DC universe. I don't know.
I think that in the DC universe, one of my favorite embodiments, you guys are going to love this, that really does a good job incorporating the whole universe is Teen Titans Go. does a really good job of having everybody. I mean, the Ninja Turtles are in it. Batman pops in, and the whole time it's just hilarious.
Video won't be shared. I just want to point out that multiple eyes rolled, heads dropped. That it was. It's just not a positive response from the other three.
Palms were placed on faces. Yes, it was.
You guys, that wasn't even a good segue. Like, you seriously aren't going to give me any credit. Like, it's a good show. Have you even seen it?
Yes, I've seen it too many times. It's good. Not that good.
Teen Titans was pretty good. Teen Titans Go is not so much.
It's just destroying. It's another one.
Teen Titans Go is like the bad sitcom version of a good superhero cartoon. Like Teen Titans, the cartoon was good. Teen Titans Go is. It is the Big Bang Theory of
Carlos. It's the Joey spinoff from Friends. That's what it is. So.
Well,
I don't know.
I love it.
With the problem, and really
just going
quick
to show that I love anything Batman. Go ahead.
Batman's not even in that. Like that's
he
not.
He does
not
pop
a,
in.
Oh,
he
so he's still in. Not a Teen Titan, but
and it's hilarious.
But anyway, so. To kind of wrap up the Batman, Superman, or the Marvel DC thing, and Tyler, you brought it up that their characters are also like have such vastly different tones. Well, two quick things. Marvel's done a great job of not, and we've talked about it before, they're not making comic book movies. They're making good movies with comic book characters in it. And it feels like DC's trying to make these comic book movies. Other thing too, we've pointed out, Marvel's had all the success without, lack of a better term, blowing their load on their great villains. Like they're storing up their best villains. DC now they cash out everybody next year. Like you lose. You got the Joker's already in there. You've got Lex Luthor. You get glimpses of you got so many villains in there.
Amanda Waller, and then basically everyone in Suicide Squad.
Well, Suicide Squad, obviously, but you know. It's another problem there too. You're cashing out on this. So like you obviously can't kill off the Joker. You can't kill off Lex Luthor. You get a glimpse of Doomsday. There's the other one I'm thinking of. Doomsday, like all right here. Like you're talking about the three villains that actually three of maybe five capable villains in the DC universe that have the chance of like doing some major damage all just in the span of 6 months.
Yeah. But that works with Batman because they just go to Arkham and then they get out again.
Yeah, but then that gets old. Like, what worked on the Christopher Nolan trilogy?
Not when Zack Snyder's inside. It's charged. And when Zack Snyder's in charge, you snap necks and you drop people off buildings.
That's right. Yeah, there's nobody surviving this.
That's the other thing is Zack Snyder. That's the other big miss that I think DC's made because Nolan did it in a very, like, he made it great drama. Like, he was making these, you know, these old school, like theatrical, like it's like a Greek tragedy kind of dark, gritty movie. Whereas Zack Snyder only knows how to make dark and gritty because now people are stoic and they kill more people die. Like his version of dark and gritty is not, I don't know. Dark and gritty has become the most overused term when we describe something that's, you know, sci-fi or fantasy. Like it has to be, it's not dark and gritty enough, or it's a new dark and gritty take on superheroes. Like I don't know, I we talk about it so much and they still haven't made a goddamn movie. I don't know how this ends well for them.
Tyler, we got more to talk about this month with it, because what, two trailers dropping this month for that? So you got two new trailers just for Batman Superman.
I've got
could Marvel things come out with something we can talk about that?
I've got two things for this conversation. PG-13 is the first one, which is a problem when you try to make dark and gritty movies and then you make them PG-13. That doesn't jive well for me. And the other thing is Iggy said that he thinks that, you know, comic book, potentially they could make a good comic book movie with, was it Booster Gold and Blue Beetle? Because it's, you know, buddy cop comedy from comics.
You're going to reference Cop Out.
I'm going to reference RIPD. I'm going to go one farther there, buddy. And be like, no, it can be messed up. That's a formula that should be easy, but is very easy to screw up.
All I have to say is RIPD is watchable. It's watchable.
Oh, no, it's not even a little bit.
So we're laying down three movies. We're laying down Transformers 2, RIPD, and Batman and Robin. Which one are you watching?
I'm going to read Dune. A book.
Yeah. All right. Aaron, are you going to pick one of those three?
Give me a second. I had to look up what RIPD was because I didn't know what it was.
I already know what she's going to pick. If she's over Chris O'Donnell, Ryan Reynolds is RIPD. There's your pick.
God, I wanted to like that movie too. Kevin Bacon and Jeff Bridges. I wanted to. It's not good.
Yeah.
What were the choices? It was RIPD 2.
No, RIPD, Transformers 2, and Batman and Robin.
Obviously, Batman and Robin.
All right. Because that's right. She did reference Batman. I mean, she watches Teen Titans Go because Batman's made three cameos in four seasons.
She watches a whole TV show just for the moments when Batman pops in the screen and yells at the teens and then goes
away. And I love, love, love that these super serious characters are making fun of themselves. And I just freaking love it. And Cyborg is adorable.
Destroying canon. But anyway, speaking of TV, and not destroying canon, we're two episodes past now on the Muppets. Have you guys partaked yet?
Eh.
What?
I never watched TV. Sorry.
Tyler, you're not digging it?
Eh. It's really? It's not quite right.
Did you watch the second one yet?
I haven't watched the second one yet. I've only watched the first one.
The second one. The first one was slow and a little bit harder. The second one, you get the cameos start flying in. And then there's the little bit I felt like the first one was trying to bring everybody in. And then the second one, they're like, okay, we're going to be the Muppets. We're going to throw in some inappropriate jokes that are kind of hidden. We're going to make cameos left and right. Tons of cameos. And we're just going to have fun with it. And I felt like I enjoyed the first one, but I felt like the second one was miles.
The first one, I didn't have any problems with pacing or the plot or the story or the jokes. I had problems with it. Just like the Muppets, the original Muppet Show was always a little bit risque, winking at the camera, these are jokes for adults. But this one took it to a level which it didn't. I don't know. It was weird. It didn't give the Muppets their due. It was a little too mean spirited. It was kind of, I don't know. It was okay. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't great.
I thought you were going to say that, the camera style, because I feel like the camera style in it is trying too hard to be modern TV. But I'm shocked that you said that you think it's too over the top. I think.
No, not over the top, just not true to what the Muppet Show was about. And the camera style is just.
The episode definitely does get more.
The camera style is things like The Office and Parks and Rec, and those things are really popular, so we should make that kind of movie. And I don't, and I guess we've reached the point where I don't think you can parody that anymore. You can't, that's not a funny joke anymore. So, because I don't know if they're trying to do that to make fun of those kinds of shows, or they really thought that would work.
They're doing
comedy with the confessional camera, the mockudrama style. I don't know.
But the thing about I really, really think, and this is going to sound like I'm trying to put you down, but it's not. That's not my goal here. What about when you were a kid, you just missed a lot of the jokes? And I think that the Muppets was pretty risque when we were kids.
I'm not saying it wasn't. It was. But at the same time, there was always a sense of good-naturedness to it. And it wasn't at the expense of the characters. And it was in the sense that they were like some of the stuff, with Fozzie Bear especially, it's just too real. You got to have the rim shot at the end. You've got to have the payoff. You can't just make it dark and depressing.
I don't know. Fozzie's
payoff. It can be as bad and on top of Fozzie as you want, but at the end, you've got to be able to rim shot that thing.
Fozzie's arc in the second one, I appreciated what they did with him. Like I said, the cameos were great in this one. I think there was three right off the top of my head. And there was a couple in the first one too. But they were oh, these are guests of the show and everything. They weren't just running into things. So I like it. I think it is very different than what we've seen before. But at the same time, I enjoy it. I think it works. And you talk about it, The Office, Parks and Rec, all that. But it goes as far as Modern Family and all these other shows. And it's just like reality TV. They're going to bleed it dry. They're going to bleed that formula dry because it is working. So you put the Muppets in this formula, and to me, it still worked. I agree. Could have been better if they did it a different way, but I'm enjoying it.
I think they stay really true to the characters. And that's part of the reason why I like it, because it's just funny.
Agreed. I don't know. Adam, you need to check it out. I don't know. ABC's on Hulu. I don't know if they'll have them on the free version of Hulu, so you can check that out. But yeah, luckily with the move, I get, you know, the cable for that first year on that discounted deal. So I've been able to catch it Tuesday nights. Chime in, let us know what you think. The Muppets, obviously a big part of most of our childhood. So I'm interested in having it back. I don't know. I don't know what this means though. And it may be out there. I may just have missed it. So I don't know. You guys might know. I don't know what this means for another movie though. I mean, obviously there's going to be another movie, but does this mean longer down the road or is it still just going on in the background? Like what's, I don't know if there's anything out there in regards to that.
There hasn't really been a lot of talk about that. I honestly don't know. So
yeah,
I don't know if this show makes it past the first season though. So like the ratings have been okay, but they haven't been great. So
yeah, I feel like they're going to need to do something. They're going to need to do something more. I agree with that, but I'm still liking it and I'd like it to stick around.
Well, shows like this will bank a little bit more as their audience grows, not like grows older, but gets larger. And you're also coming up to the holiday season. I mean, that type of, if it's like the Muppets of old, that type of kind of like variety show with a story, that type of thing has, you know, holiday season's always big for them. Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, that type of stuff. So I would expect to see them do some big things around that as well.
So a lot of other TV starting to, I'm not watching it, but huge, a lot of positive, I guess, feedback on Gotham's episode 2. Huge response to the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s season premiere this week. A lot of comments about like the budget seems bigger. They really went after it. They're, you know, throwing in the Inhumans and stuff like that. I don't know. I know Tyler, you watch it, but you may not watch it in real time. But I'm assuming at this early in the game, we're just looking at lower level Inhumans. We're not to the royal family yet.
They've touched on some people who would be known characters, but like this universe obviously is different than the comic book universe. So they've, you know, there's been some characters that have been, I don't know, like pastiches of other characters and like some other mixed in, but we haven't got, there hasn't been like a Black Bolt or, you know, anything like that happening yet. So, definitely. But I'm not caught up. Like this is with you, like you are with Mad Men. Like I don't really watch it in real time. I watch it. I binge on it like after a season's over. And stuff.
Oh, and I'm just a few weeks away from the end of Mad Men from picking that up and stuff. So, but staying with, you know, the Inhumans, I did do I did the casting call. I had to make sure I remember who did it. I did it. Good job there, Iggy. But a few months ago, our casting call was the Inhumans movie. So if you want to check out who we picked to play the Inhumans, the royal family specifically, because that's all I cast was the royal family. Go check it out. Pretty cool. And then, of course, this month or just a couple weeks ago, I partnered with Adam and Tyler here to make sure we got the cast in the casting call for the new novel Armada that came out this summer. Adam put up that review back in July, the new Ernest Cline novel, but we did do a casting call there.
That was a good one. I liked that one.
It was, I think it's a strong cast. I think we did a good job.
We did a good job.
We need to do more of those in group effort. Cause that's definitely was a fun conversation, but
here's another episode we should mail to some people, you know, maybe we can get you guys some jobs as movie casters.
Yeah, we'd blow a lot of
buttons. That's definitely gonna happen.
You guys put together a movie cast that's gonna cost us $487 million.
There's 12 leading characters and there's 12 leading actors in this movie.
They did it with like Ocean's 11 and stuff.
Yeah,
because they got Steven Soderbergh to direct it.
Yeah, so but anyways, so video games still relevant time this year, of course. Video games keep coming out. The big one that was recently dropped, which I don't think any of us actually picked it up, but definitely saw, was the new Lego Dimensions game. So for those not familiar with it, you basically take your Skylanders or your Disney Infinity and you do it with Lego. Like, what's not to like about that? Sounds awesome. So that dropped. Tyler, I don't know, you usually get firsthand views on how these video games are moving. It was a big success.
I think people have gotten, parents are past the, I'm not buying you that game where then we have to spend another $300 for you to collect every goddamn figurine. So between Amiibos, Skylanders, and Disney Infinity, I think it has since run its course. Like, we don't get the runs on, You don't see the runs on Skylander's characters like you used to. The Infinity, like, 1.0 was pretty popular, 2.0 was pretty popular, 3.0, because it was Star Wars, was kind of popular, but a lot of those figurines just sit on the shelves for days. And then now a Lego one, when I would just play the Lego video games and play Legos. The only one that still gets buzz, it's limited edition Amiibos, and that's only just because they are so literally limited, like they're impossible to get. So,
but even those are, you're noticing a kind of a, I would say, not necessarily a dip in popularity, but Nintendo's even said that they're going to start re-releasing some of the other ones. So you're getting, you know, more Mighty Mikes, Falcos and stuff like that. So
they're more Meta Knights. And
right. They must not be, the non-limited edition ones must not be driving that bottom line anymore like they were before.
Well, they aren't coming out with that many. Like right at the beginning, there was a big push. Then there was a couple of limited, but then every like month or so, you'd have one or two fairly well-known characters. But the other thing is, when it's all said and done, one of the biggest gripes people have about Nintendo is outside of their first party games, like there's just not that much out there because people don't develop for their systems. And then when you start running down the list, you realize, oh, well, you can only make so many different Marios and so many different Links and so many different Zeldas and so many different, you know, before you, well, shit, we're out of first party characters. We did Star Fox, we did Metroid, we did Mario, we did every single Mario character, and we did Zelda, Donkey Kong, I guess, or I don't know.
Right. Anybody who's ever shown up in Super Smash Brothers or
Captain, Mario Kart. Captain Falcon. And I don't even know who else is, I guess just make all the Smash Brother characters. And then you've pretty much now exhausted every first party intellectual property for Nintendo. And I guess the guy from Pikmin.
You're going to have to start making new characters. Oh, Mario and Luigi, they have these cousins that we're going to introduce in the new video game. So.
Yeah, Wario and Waluigi. We already did that one. And
they're Italian.
They got Peach and Daisy.
They got a big family. They get together a lot, Italian.
The other princess, the star one, I don't even know what her name is.
Rosalina.
Rosalina, yeah. And Toad and other colored Toad. And
the only reason I know Rosalina's name is because cosplay.
Other colored Toad. I like that. Other colored Toad.
And Yoshi and Bowser Jr. And then the Koopa kids, if you want to bring the, because they brought those ones back, a couple of them back for the new Mario game from Super Mario Brothers 3. So
before we run low on time, I do want to talk a little bit about Project Nerd. We do have Tallgrass Film Festival around the corner, which we're getting excited for, so you'll see a lot of content from there. Typically, you know, movie reviews, you don't find a lot of places because these are, as the film festival likes to call itself, stubbornly independent, so it's all independent features. A lot of good stuff this year on the slate, too, so you can go check it out if you're in or around the Wichita area. The middle of October, I think, we'll be there the 16th through 18th. Also, though, another announcement dropped for Project Nerd Publishing, as we did announce, Matt Kimes, that Bulletproof Kid. So that Bulletproof Kid is more of our superhero story for our first wave. So we're really excited about that. And it is one we will be doing a crowdfunding campaign for. So if you're ready to get your, in a sense, I guess, put your money where your mouth is with Project Nerd Publishing, we'd love that. We'd love for you to help us out. But our campaigns will start here in about mid-October as well, starting with that, and then immediately followed by another title that we really can't tell you the name yet, but it's almost there, guys. So we have two more that we're going to announce, but Tobacco Stain Mountain Goat and that Bulletproof Kid, of course, are the two first announcements, two other ones in the works. And then we also, I mean, we are working on some other things that'll be more long-term goals as well. But I'm pretty excited for this. That bulletproof kid did catch my attention. I really liked it because it was kind of like a play. In a way, you get a little bit of Superman going on, a little bit of Spider-Man going on, a whole lot of originality going on as well, though. So it's a really good series that I'm excited to pick up and bring over here to the States because it hasn't had any physical release in North America previously before this, although I think it's 5 issues deep in Australia. So exciting news.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Super exciting. I'm excited.
I don't know. Tyler, are you gonna buy our comics?
Do I not get free copies?
Okay, fine.
Bye. You just send me the PDF. It's cool.
No, whatever, Tyler. Fine, I'll send you a copy. Anyways, yeah, so that Bulletproof Kid, all that. Of course, most of them, we should have, actually, with these campaigns early, we could hopefully have printed ones out this winter, but we'll definitely have all 4 titles with us as we start hitting the road next late in the spring, early summer for next year's Pro Nerd Tour. So
And we can. People want signatures from the publishing people? Like, will they want signatures from us?
No, probably not. Probably not.
Tyler, can you sign this copy of this comic book issue? And he'd be like, I didn't actually write this.
Well, I literally had nothing to do with the production of this comic, but okay.
Right. I talked about you guys so much, but me and Tyler are pretty locked in. Yeah.
But it, I mean, when they come out with the, you know, the Nerdcast comic book, then yes, I would more than happy to sign
that. I like where we're going with this.
Any takers?
Aaron, though, is a co-creator of a character for a title that will be announced. So
you're embarrassing me. Stop talking about me.
Wow. You even did the handout and everything. Like, stop it. Like, no.
Stop. Just stop.
But anyway, so I don't know. Maybe they'll want your signature on one of the comics.
That's just too much.
I'm just excited. What's really the whole thing about this that for me, and I've explained it to a couple of y'all already, is it's just that first box that shows up with the comics, no matter what title it is, the first box of the four that shows up, and I open it up, and then there's a comic book with our logo on it. Like, to me, like, we just printed comic books. That's going to be the coolest thing ever. I don't know. I've wanted to do this, like I've said in the press releases and the announcements, I've wanted to do this since middle school. So to me, this is, you know, that thing of living your dream. There we go. I'm getting to finally do that. And I do thank all of you listeners and all of the many other supporters of Project Nerd that have helped make this reality. And yes, even you, Tyler, I do appreciate your support in this as well.
So the comic book box, Iggy's going to open it.
You're welcome.
It's going to be like his lifetime achievement award. He's going to get out a microphone and record his speech. Like, I would like to thank Tyler and Adam for supporting me along the way. And
Aaron, you're all right.
I'd like to thank the artists and the writers involved.
No, you got to keep that first box, and you got to like date it and sign it and stuff like that. So you go to like breweries, they always have their like first bag of grain that they bought that went into making their beer and that kind of stuff. Like that, you need to have that so that, you know, 20 years from now when we got our big giant.
You have to get some, who are the guys that we always end up talking to that make the comic book holder, comic book CBDs, the comic book displays.
Yeah, comic book displays.
Have them make you a couple custom ones.
I got a spot on the wall right there. Put the box in a display right there.
Send it off and have it graded and sealed in a plastic case and then hang on the wall.
Yes. Yeah, and that way.
Yes, I'm going to have one of our comics graded for sure.
20 years from now when we're in this big, giant, amazing office building with a very cool video game room and free sodas for everybody, we can have right in the lobby that first comic book box. This was the box that the first comics came in, and we're the guys who took down Marvel and DC.
Well, I'm glad that Adam recognizes that we'll all probably work together again. I just don't think he realizes that office we'll be in will probably belong to somebody else. So, folks, at this point, we are running low on time. And since I have all four of us and it's time for the final thought.
Aaron.
Chosen at total random.
Total randomness here. Aaron, would you like to start us with your final thought?
Final thought, I didn't get to say it, but guess what I'm reading? I'm reading an Ernest Cline book. I'm reading Ready Player One. And all I can say is I understand why Adam loves it.
I love it too.
Hey.
I'm the one who made Adam read it.
But Adam loves it more than you, and I know he does. And
okay,
also,
first of all, not true. He loves Armada significantly more than I do. But
whatever. I really like Ready Player One.
I think you're discrediting Armada.
I'm not. It's just... I get that you guys enjoyed it.
Great read, but no,
it's not bad. It's just not.
So Aaron's reading Ready Player One.
It's real good.
Good job. How far are you?
I'm like to the
first gate, second gate, third gate.
He hasn't got to the second gate yet, and it's real interesting. And I feel like this whole thing has been a climax ever since I've got to like one third of the way through. It's just like ultra climactic the whole time. And
does he have the second key?
Really, guys?
No.
I'm not literally spoiling anything. Hey, here's spoiler alert, Iggy. They make it through all three gates and find all three keys.
Hey, spoiler alert, it opens the ending.
The beginning of the book opens that he read that he wanted. So yeah.
That's exactly right.
Tyler, final thoughts.
So as I've mentioned the last probably 3 weeks running, I've been waiting. One of my favorite authors, Jim Butcher, came out with a new book yesterday, called The Aeronauts Windlass. first book in a new series called The Cinder Spires. It's steampunk. So it came out yesterday. But I've been really, really busy at work the last couple of days. So I hate that. New book comes out and then like things got really serious in work. In other news, I finished Aeronaut's Windlass this morning about 3 a.m. and I'm really behind on my work and it's pretty awesome. So if anyone likes Jim Butcher, they like airships and goggles and magic crystals and lots of talking cats. Seriously, a cat is one of the main characters. If you like talking cats, it's pretty awesome. Pick up Aeronaut's Windlass with Jim Butcher. I say it's a quick read. It's about 600 pages and I didn't really do much of anything the last 24 hours except for read it. So, but it was fun.
All right, Adam, sir, final thoughts.
Well,
right here, Adam.
Thank you, Tyler. That gives me something to buy my wife for Christmas. Yes. I saw that headline. I've been keeping track of that. Tyler just showed that Sporting Kansas City won the the 2015 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, in penalty shootouts, exciting fashion. So well done, Sporting. My final thought would really be just that, you know, I just want to say thank you to everybody that listens to us. You guys are fantastic. We, you know, have been doing this now for a while and are still pretty shocked and amazed that we're still doing it, I think, and that you know, you guys do listen to us and you find us at cons and tell us that you listen. That's it. It's truly shocking to me. It makes me very happy that this is something we still get to do. And so I just want to say, for my final thoughts this week, thank you for listening. Tell your friends, tell your family, share it on Facebook, help us become world dominating Project Nerd.
It's in our About Us page that we're on a quest to take over the world. So, great point, Adam. Thanks for saying that too. Yeah, that is fantastic. And we brought it up earlier today. Every time we talk about a stat in any relation to the site, somehow, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how we're still shocked. You guys continue to blow us away with your support and we love you all. Thank you so much. I do want to point out, of course, we're closing out the year on our events. You know, the fall is always slower for us, especially most of us relocating, some still to relocate, but, Tallgrass Film Festival here in mid-October. And then of course the big, not a huge, huge show, but it's a great size show. Perfect for you to get up close and personal with a lot of great cosplay guests and Katrina Law, who we happen to be bringing out to Rocky Mountain Con on November 7th and 8th. So a lot of our good cosplay friends coming out, Nightmage, April Gloria, Aaron Lay, and many others will be there as well. And then of course, Katrina Law, brought to you by Project Nerd for Rocky Mountain Con out in Denver. And then the big one that we keep talking about, Project Cosplay. Yeah, the support's growing there too. And so we appreciate that as well. But if you can get to, or you're in the Denver area and you love the costume or you want a costume for the first time, doesn't matter what your experience is with cosplay. Cause we're also going to have great panels and workshops to teach you new techniques and everything. But Project Cosplay, February 17th through 19th, 18th. It's like
the numbers for the episodes. We have no idea what.
Oh man, it's been a long, long week. It's been a long.
Go to project-nerd.com or projectcosplay.com and check them out.
Keep those hyphens in there, but definitely check it out. But as Adam said, we do appreciate the support greatly. But pointing that out, Project Nerd Publishing, pnpublishing.com or Project Cosplay, project-cosplay.com are two of our other big initiatives that we've been pushing now. Here just recently that you can find outside of just Project Nerd. And of course, Project Nerd's still cooking. We still got great stuff going on, and some amazing and awesome content to come your way in October, and the months ahead. So definitely continue to check us out. But with that, we'll do what we typically do here. We'll bring this great episode to a close, with these, not one, not two, not three, but all four great podcast hosts.
Aw, snap.
Awesome. So Project Nerd, the Nerdcast by Project Nerd, of course, once again, brought to you by Nerd Kung Fu. Head on over to nerdkungfu.com/Project Nerd to check out some great geek gifts. Again, Nerd Kung Fu has been fantastic in their support for us. And we're not just saying this because they're supporting us. We're saying this because we wear their shirts. They have some amazing products. So nerdkungfu.com/Project Nerd. Besides them too, yeah, video. We do have a cat sitting on top of one of our Geek Fuel boxes. I don't know if Adam is trying to rub it in Tyler's face or what's going on here, but the cat.
I think it's to show the adorableness of that adorable, sweet Mel Mel kitty.
It's a good looking cat, you guys.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. Keep talking so we keep seeing the kitty.
All right. Well, as we say every week, we'll catch you next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel.
Third Kung Fu.
Ha ha!